Kate Daly Show is about to start. Progressive liberals must be accompanied by an adult. The show starts now.
Do you believe that the Constitution's the best document in political history?
Greatest political document ever.
There you go.
Thank you.
I want to know, how is it possible to believe that when it's based on racist principles? They describe indigenous peoples as merciless Indian savages. They don't describe African Americans as full people, and they don't even recognize other people of color and other minorities that we see today. So I just want to know how you think it's possible to believe that's such a great document.
Thank you for the question. Where does it say that in the document? No, keep her. Where does it say that in the document?
I'm sorry, what?
Where does it say what you said in the actual document?
I'm not entirely sure,
but... It doesn't.
No,
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, right.
I love that response from Charlie Kirk. Savages? Doesn't it say that? You could tell just by the question in her voice. She had no clue what she was talking about.
Not a bit.
Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. So glad that you're out there listening. And just even if you're catching the podcast, I'm just grateful to you because we just need to be educated. I swear to you, what's so frustrating is reading the headlines and what they're all about and where they're coming from and the ignorance coming about and not being able... This microphone just needs to be so broad and loud because we are just tackling some of the biggest issues of the day. I've got Uncle Milty with me.
Hello.
I also have the great Dr. Duke Pesta with us as he comes on every Monday. So happy to have you. Welcome, Dr. Duke.
Thank you very much. Glad to be back.
You bet. And the Dr. Duke Show. How can they catch the Dr. Duke Show? Because even Milty was walking in. Did you catch Dr. Duke? So I hope everybody out there is catching your podcast. It's really great, by the way.
Just go to drdukeshow.com and you can watch it and listen to the podcast when you're in the car driving. Or you can watch the video at freedomproject.org, FPEUSA.org, or you can watch us on YouTube. So we're all over. Just type that title and you'll find us everywhere.
I learned so much listening to your podcast. It's fantastic.
It is.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a unique, guys, there's not another show anywhere in this country that's dedicated to that kind of information, what's going on from everywhere from kindergarten through graduate school.
We
do a pretty comprehensive job.
You're right. And I love it. And I love that you're doing it. Thank you for your courage. I really do. And thank you for being out there and doing it. A lot of people talk and you're actually out there doing it. So I had a question from a fan of the show, and it was their child, was constitutionally trained and has had a great upbringing by a very, very conservative person who was anti-Common Core and really his kids have an understanding. But college has seeped in a little and indoctrination has seeped in a little. And now his child might be convinced about being, a racist nation. We're a racist nation. It has to do with the border, just not letting everybody gallivant through, I guess, unvetted. It's not like we don't provide a way. Anyway, so it's that. And it's basically our history as a racist nation. And what could these kids possibly read that would give them some true history and give them some perspective on this? Dr. Duke?
Well, that is a problem because, all of our history textbooks for kids have been utterly corrupted. So the textbooks your kids are getting from the big textbook publishers are all Common Core affiliated in some way or aligned. And so you're not going to be able to go out and buy a textbook for kids from the mainstream publishers that's going to give them a balanced view of American history of American immigration. And again, many of our literary authors and philosophers, the great classics of American literature, don't talk much about the issue either. There are some things. You could have them read George Washington Carver's autobiography or Up from Slavery, or you could have them go read about the life of Frederick Douglass. But that's not necessarily going to explain to them how unique America was prior to the postmodern age. Right. One thing I will say is this, that the idea of the melting pot, the idea of what made America great for a long, long time is we brought all sorts of immigrants into this country, tens and hundreds of thousands a year. Just kept streaming from about 1880 to about 1930, just streaming across into the country. All of them mostly legal immigration, right? But we assimilated all those people. They made a commitment to learn how to speak English. They took citizens' tests. They taught their kids in American schools and convinced their children that they were being raised as Americans, not as Italians or Irish people who happened to be here in America. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people in your audience know this, but the whole concept of America, the melting pot, America who assimilates people to become Americans is considered a vestige of white supremacy now.
Right.
We have decided that having people come here and become Americans is a privilege. We've decided now that, no, it's not. It's a right, that everybody in the world has the right to be here. Everybody in the world has a right to come here, regardless of what actual Americans say. And when they get here, we have no right. We have no right to ask them to speak our language, to learn our customs and mores, to participate in the daily cultural life of America. That's why you've got in Michigan these separatist communities outside of Flint that are merely Islamic places. You've got places in the country where people of various backgrounds, Hispanics in particular, congregate together. Kids are being educated in the schools in Spanish, not being asked to learn English. And what I would say to the dad who's trying to give his kids these lessons, I would go back and use the old footage on the internet, and I would go back and explain to them. Don't necessarily need textbooks, but there's a lot of good resources online that show the difference. Look around the world. Look at those nations around the world where people are Balkanized. Think about what Bosnia and Serbia used to be. Think about apartheid places like South Africa. Think about the Chinese, right, who any minority group, whether they're Roman Catholics or Uyghur Muslims, are being brutally suppressed and re-indoctrinated. Look at the nature of countries that don't allow for assimilation, that treat guests or refugees or illegal immigrants, who treat them as if they're entitled to have all the perks and prerogatives of American citizenship, but none of the responsibilities. And that's why my final comment, I'll turn it over to you guys, is that there's a reason why people all over the world want to come here. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why people are Cubans are risking their lives in floating bathtubs to get here from Cuba. It's a reason why people are risking death and starvation to get here. It is a tremendous privilege to be part of the freest, most economically powerful, most liberty-driven society in the history of the world. The progressives now hate that narrative. They don't want to admit it's true. So the minute the progressives say that all of these people, the tired, the poor, from Hungary, from around the world, are welcome to come, and when they get here, they're supposed to lecture us about our shortcomings. They have the right to suckle at the teat of capitalism while not paying their fair share. That's what really is happening now, that the progressive elite has so convincingly demonstrated in their classrooms that what we consider assimilation and becoming an American is nothing to be proud of. That's what's got to be combated.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, I remember when this changed. I had a very good experience with a Cuban gentleman who became an American citizen when I was about 14 years old. But today, without the progressives do everything possible to prevent immigrants from assimilating. They petition government to print all documents in 28 different languages. Mm-hmm. They make it easy for them to stay in their ghettos. Mm-hmm. And we have to put a stop to that.
You made a comment about people coming to this country. And one thing I think we don't really ever think about is that they feel very comfortable coming here. This is why they come here, because this nation was actually the epitome of being, you know, for the immigrant. And are they clamoring to get into Saudi Arabia? Are they clamoring to go anywhere else? No, because they know if they come here, they're welcome here. And so that does not make us a racist nation. It means we're a lawful nation. So it's okay to go through the vetting process and not want to disrespect the country so much that you're willing to storm the gate. Right?
Right. And I ask my university students every semester, I say, if we're such a racist, bigoted, homophobic, Islamophobic country, if we are a country that leads the world in historical atrocities and current atrocities, if we are intolerant and bigoted, why are people all over the world coming here? I said, I give 1 ounce of credit to the liberal narrative, the one I just shared with you. Give me one good answer to my question. Why are they coming here? And I said, you know, these immigrants aren't stupid. If they're coming from third world countries in South America or in Africa, you know what? They're smart. If they get here and all they meet when they get here is racism and bigotry and intolerance and prejudice, well, they're smart enough to go back home, right?
Right.
I mean, so why do they come and why do they stay and why do they not leave? Mm-hmm. And why do so many immigrants who've come here legally, why do they want to see our borders protected? I think it has a lot to do with the fact of how the progressive narrative is self-contradicting. Mm-hmm. But this is the problem, guys. Our kids only get the progressive narrative. That question absolutely short circuits my students. Yeah. Because they have no answer for it. I mean, they believe blindly what they've heard since they started going to school in kindergarten and what they've heard all through their university. They believe we're nothing but a bunch of racist homophobes and bigots. They believe that we delight, somehow cruelly delight, in torturing and watching immigrants starve to death on the southern border. That's the narrative that they've inherited. And when I ask them that one question, well, why do they keep coming? Certainly, a life of poverty in Guatemala is better than dying on the border of America, right?
Right.
Surely, a life under the Castro brothers in Cuba is a safer thing, right, than the bigot homophobe world of Miami, where everybody is crushed under the boot of American white supremacy. And so explain it to me, and they can't. And that's the wedge I use to get at them. All right. Well, then why did, if that's not the case, if the case is in reality. We are a multicultural culture. Even in my classrooms, I teach in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, guys. It's one of the whitest places in the world. Not a lot of black and right. Hispanic people want to move from sunny climates to a place where it snowed just this weekend, right? Camarones Bay.
Right.
So, and yet, even here, my class, I've got 6 or 7 Latino kids in there. I've got 3 or 4 Asian kids in that class. I've got an African-American woman in that class. I've got at least 2 self-identified gay people in my classes. So look around at you guys. Why are you all here if we are the monstrosity? And in literally one 50-minute discussion, I've turned around their whole worldview. And by the end of that 50 minutes, they're saying things to me like, well, yeah, maybe we've done some bad things, but who hasn't? All cultures have.
Exactly.
Maybe this place is a pretty good place for people all over the world to come.
I agree.
It absolutely shows the power of the indoctrination of government schools.
Yeah,
it does. They've overpowered the parents even.
Yes, and in a time when we're calling for equality, I think it's very interesting that a school in my state, a college in my state, the very few black people that attend that college, it's a private college, wanted their own graduation. They're asking for segregation. I don't understand it. It's baffling.
I think that's exactly right. We're going to run out of time here in a minute, but let's just introduce the topic for the next segment.
Yes.
It is amazing to me. I mentioned the inward contradictoriness of progressivism. On the one hand, they say we're evil and horrible. On the other hand, more and more brown and black skin people keep coming here and thriving here. Mm-hmm. That's a contradiction that the liberals can't handle. This is another one. It used to be classical liberals in the 40s, 50s, and 60s who demanded colorblind societies and a lack of segregation. And the progressives are putting it back in now.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Be right back with Dr. Duke. Catch the Dr. Duke Show, by the way. But Dr. Duke will be right back with us. Hang on.
Hey, it's Justin.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
With huddled clothes. Hang on.
Can't say it like Neil Diamond does, but I absolutely love this song. And the reason is because they've always been coming here. We've always been coming here. And there's a reason that we come here. And if we're so doggone, you know, racist, why are people coming? It's because we aren't. It's because we aren't. And just like in the opening clip, a student said to Charlie Kirk, the Constitution makes us racist because it says all of these racist things. And Charlie Kirk said, where does it say it? In the document, and she couldn't answer because I don't think she's ever read it, the student, college student. And it was really par for the course in what we're talking about right now with Dr. Duke Pesta and Uncle Milty, is that there is this notion that we are a racist notion. And the reason we're bringing this up today, too, is because you're going to be hearing about this a lot in the election. You're going to be hearing what a racist country we are, and we're going to be talking about that in today's show as well. But this whole narrative, I just brought up the fact that there was a college in my state that asked for a black graduation only, a black only graduation, I should say, and they got it. And I thought, are they asking for segregation? We've come so far. What in the world are we doing here? And so please take it from here.
Dr. Yeah, you think about that for a second, guys. It's okay to say, hey, we want Native American. A lot of colleges, including Ivy League colleges, Stanford, I think, did it too, offered Native American-only graduation ceremonies, African American-only. We have gay and transgender-only graduation ceremonies. All that's fine. The minute somebody comes forth and says, I would like a white-only graduation, it is the end of the world racism. Mm-hmm. And it's the ironic thing is that it's white people who don't want the segregation. White people want everybody to be part of this. The white groups on campus aren't agitating for separate anything and are starting to ask the question, well, we've spent all this time and intellectual and emotional capital to get to the point where segregation of any kind was finally deemed wrong, mm-hmm. only to have those who had been segregated arguing now that to have to do anything with white people, to have to share a dorm room or to share a cultural center or, hell, even sit together at the same lunchroom mm-hmm. affects us, right? We would rather be alone than have to deal with you white people. And what has happened is that this is another instance, not just politically and in terms of immigration, it's another instance where the progressive left has successfully redefined history. They have revisioned history. They rewrote it. They've rewritten history now. Mm-hmm. So that segregation is perfectly good because white people and white people alone are guilty of racism or bigotry or discrimination or non-exclusivity. In other words, we're telling kids, I see it every day at my university. We're telling kids, hey, you're black. You can never be a racist. And so what happens is you get some black kids on college campuses, and we've seen them in the news for the last 2 years, saying terribly racist things about whites. White people should be killed, and we ought to do this to white people and that to white people. Mm-hmm. And they're hiding behind this false dichotomy. Right. Oh, I'm black. I can say that. I can wish you dead, right? Because as a black person, I have no power to kill you. Mm-hmm. Or as a Muslim, I have no power to kill you in your white Christian society, which, as we know, not just historically, but just watch the news to know that that kind this stuff isn't true. And yet, because there are so – colleges are such a monolithic voice. Our middle and high schools have become so monolithic in teaching social justice. And let me be very clear to you. When you guys hear the words social justice when it comes to education, it is precisely what I just said. It is the lie. Social justice is lying about our culture, our heritage, our constitution, lying about our past, our immigration record, our racial record. Social justice is nothing more than exaggerating the worst aspects of our culture and quietly forgetting the blessings and the benefits that have made us all so free. Social justice is nothing more than a revisionist history approach to every truthful aspect of our history.
I agree. In fact, did you have something to say?
Well, I just, you know, there's this organization, they call themselves the African American Graduation Celebration, the AAGC. Mm-hmm. And they say it is to provide a ceremony to recognize the accomplishments of the graduates and the support received from family and friends as an mm-hmm. African-centered ceremony. Mm-hmm. But isn't that what commencement is?
Yes. And
exactly.
The different speeches. Do we need different speeches for black students and white students? I thought we were so far beyond that.
And what they're saying is family and friends don't include white institutions
yes.
or white professors or white
or
students
white people.
Or white colleagues. Yeah,
or white people in general.
That's
there
right.
there was an article written by a black student at a predominantly white college, and it was student highlights all the discrimination. Well, when you looked in the article, there actually wasn't one instance of discrimination named. It was a blanket statement. We're just discriminated against without ever shedding any light on why. And then it said, she said, this isn't a topic we should take lightly. It affects all students and the overall culture. But what does? I mean, nothing was ever shed light on. It goes on to say that the students have made a lot of progress, but not the majority of white students. And then again, I'm asking, well, on what? What did they do? And so she cited microaggressions that she never ever disclaimed, just microaggressions in general. That means somebody's face, you're reading somebody's face and you think it says something it doesn't. And then also she said, it's just isolating. Well, this girl went to an all-white, mostly white, I shouldn't say mostly white college. And you know that going in. It's a private college. So you're going to feel a little isolated, just like I would if I was going somewhere in the South and it was mostly a black college. I would feel a little bit more isolated. But she cited that as racism. And I thought this was a really good sort of introduction to, okay, if you're so discriminated against, please tell us why. The entire article, Dr. Duke, said, it didn't say anything. It was full of air. There was nothing cited.
No one can point to mass racism. No one. We're not having as a culture, and our universities, mm-hmm. which are so woke, we are not engaging in wide scale endemic racism anymore. There is no lynchings going on. There are no corporate firings. There are no denials. We're not using German shepherds to keep people of any race out of any college. Mm-hmm. And so because we can't point to what the left says we are.
Right.
Really, really glaring examples of vicious racism. Notice what the left has done. They've elevated microaggressions. The very fact that you call them microaggressions, things so small that most people wouldn't even notice them, mm-hmm. you've now elevated that to racism, shows you if there were macroaggressions they could point to, they'd point to them to condemn us, mm-hmm. but they don't. And
yes.
we've reached the point now where kids like this student, mm-hmm. she's so used to saying microaggressions, but she can't explain them.
She doesn't
what does that
explain
mean?
It.
To her, a racist microaggression is simply being on a campus when where there are more white people than black, and
yes.
that for her is racism.
Yes.
There's no gratitude. There's no pioneering spirit. There's no, look, I've made it. This is a testament. Whatever happened to the Jeffersons, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're moving on up. Beans don't burn in the kitchen, right?
Moving on
we
up.
We took a whole lot of trying to get up that hill. Now they've made it to the top of the hill,
uh-huh.
and because they don't see as many blacks as they have white, hint, whisper, check the racial stats of the country.
Right.
You're only about 12% of the population. You don't see as many whites up at the top as you do blacks. Therefore, all your success now is mediated by all this racist you imagine. In fact, you give credit to
uh-huh.
what you've become.
Yep.
Not because you've achieved it,
yep.
but because you've somehow survived racism.
And you cite discrimination, even though you can't name it. You can't name instances. And that's why I'm poking holes in this, is because there wasn't anything here. She also said that white students, if they really wanted to understand black people, should join the Black Student Union. And then we would understand. Okay, I don't know what that means.
They wouldn't let you.
Exactly.
I can see this in my own college.
Yes.
What the black kids don't want is white people involved. How
mm-hmm.
many times have we seen this already? They tell you to go ahead and live, mm-hmm. learn to live what it's like to be black, and then you're not allowed to live with black people because that upsets black people, and you're not allowed
yep.
to eat with them because that bothers them. And if you go swimming with them, then they demand their own gym time. And it's not just African Americans.
You've got the
LGBTQ crowd doing this. You've
mm-hmm.
got Hispanic kids who have done it. We've already talked about Native American. You've got now some colleges over the last year have been arguing maybe we should have gymnasiums and swim times dedicated only to women. You know, I mean, obviously Muslim women don't like to swim when men are around.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just give Muslim women their own times to swim and ban all men from them. These kind of things are happening across
right.
the country now.
Right.
And when you think about all of this, as you said so wisely, Kate, this isn't fighting racism.
Mm-mm.
It is using racism to keep the people you think you don't like at arm's length so you can continue to scapegoat them.
Amen. Go ahead.
I would love to see the 1.5% of the students at Howard University that are white complain in the same way.
Yeah.
I'm isolated here.
They'd be told, get over your white privilege. And look, it's the same thing for the Protestant kid or the atheist kid who goes to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing for the Mormon person who ends up at the University of North Carolina. It's the same thing for the, you know, I mean, this goes on and on and on and on.
Yep.
I mean, this is not exclusive to you because of your skin color. Feeling somewhat different
mm-hmm.
and getting over it is the price we pay to mingle with culture.
Yep.
I mean, these kids are not going to graduate from college or their high school and end up at companies that only hire black people or companies that only hire women. And so we are so poorly preparing these kids, besides the lack of logic and the internal progressive inconsistencies. It's the same thing with the immigration question we talked in the first segment to the racial question we're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
It's all made up. It's all just made up to allow a small group, get this,
right.
to allow a small group of very progressive white people to maintain power.
I totally agree. And she also went on to say that students have a transformative experience. It has to be internalized. They need to change, that we have Christ-like love. She was shown Christ-like love. Otherwise, she would have had dozens of examples of people being mean to her. And so it was all in her head on this problem. But we'll take a caller for you. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. You're on with Dr. Duke. You have about 35 seconds.
Yeah, hi, Kate.
Hi there.
I'll tell you what I would notice about her. If I walked into a store, a Target, a Walmart, whatever, and she was there, and I seen her with a smug look on her face, it looks like she hates the world, especially if she saw me because I'm white. Right. You think I'm going to give her a smile and say, have a nice day?
Yes.
No, I'm going to find anybody of any color, race, or creed that has a nice smile on their face, and then I'll say, hey, how's your day going? Pretty good.
Yeah.
And so you surround yourself with people that make you feel good.
Yep.
So if they walk around with a chip on their shoulder, what do they expect to get?
Yep. And that happens every day in America. Isn't it amazing that
every
people are just nice
every
to people?
Part of the world.
Thank you for that. I love it. Dr. Duke.
Hey, so I would say I was in Baton Rouge. I was in Louisiana this weekend. And my wife is a Southern girl. And I walked off that plane and in Atlanta and then in Baton Rouge. And there are many, 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 many African-Americans living alongside white people in the South. It's a high concentration.
Sure.
And I tell you, every African-American I met down there would smile and say, God bless you. And how are you, sir?
Yep.
Yes, sir. No, ma'am. I gave them back. If, yes, sir. No, ma'am. It was the most beautiful. It felt absolutely. I felt like I was in another country flying down from the Midwest into Southern, to the Deep South, where all this racism is supposed to be lurking. I saw African-American people eating with white people, talking to them, going out with them, socializing with them. I mean, there was a politeness. Now, I don't attribute this to the South necessarily. I attribute it to the Southern Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
The Christianity is taken much more seriously in the South.
Yes.
And so consequently, people behaved much better towards each other. You know,
I agree.
It was a revelation.
Well, let me say this: Shakespeare, that which you have within, can you see without? This was glaring in this article because she said white students need not get defensive. They need to understand it's not about them. Right back at you, honey. You need to understand it's not about you, and you don't need to get defensive, because I'm going to guarantee that kids aren't walking around defensive. So, I think that in this narrative, it's just painted so much in her favor of victimization. It's insane.
Well, look at the progressive contradictions. That's been our theme today, right? How the progressives say one thing and do another. She basically spends 80% of the article blaming white people. And at the end, she says, oh, but stop thinking this is about you. You just told us we were the ones who were making you uncomfortable. We were the ones who didn't like you. We were the ones who were responsible for anything that happened badly to you. And then at the end of your article, you tell us to get over ourselves.
And
it's not
be
us.
Christ-like.
Be Christ-like and join the black union.
Yeah.
Right? It'd be easier to walk the road of Christ than it would be to get to those black unions if you're white.
We'll be right back. More with Dr. Duke and Uncle Milty. Don't go anywhere on The Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com for podcasts. You can share these far and wide. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
What it should be about for everybody. Just respecting each other. It's not hard. This is the Kate Daly Show. Glad you're joining us. Uncle Milty, a riveting conversation always on this show with our superb guests as well. Dr. Duke Pesta, one of the only conservative professors out there and willing to speak out. He also has his own show, the Dr. Duke Show. And there's a wonderful online school too, fpeusa.org, that your child needs to be a part of. It's accredited all over the nation. And boy, it is really amazing. Their curriculum is awesome. Welcome back, Dr. Duke.
Thank you.
So we were just talking about the fact that if you're just joining us, the black students at a particular college in my own state wanted their own graduation and what that has spun into. And you were talking about LGBT on campus wanting their own dorms or all the segregation that's going on as they vocally fight for equality, right? As they're vocally fighting for all of these things, underneath it all, they're undermining themselves by wanting and desiring and proving the actions towards more segregation, towards more isolation. It's a very strange dichotomy.
Well, this is how successful the left has been in blaming whitey and white males for all that's wrong with the culture. And so these kids have imbibed that it's okay to say anything you want about white males, about cisgendered white men, about, you know how that rolls. I will say this, however, isn't it interesting? We talked about for the first 45 minutes, we've talked about how exactly what the progressives are teaching our kids is completely contradicted by simple reality. Now we have a situation where, with all the woke candidates, isn't it interesting that two of the pastiest, whitest, most bland male candidates are leading the Democrat Party right now? Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. And they're not, yeah. not only are they white men,
yeah.
but they're both creepy white men in their own way, right?
Yes.
I mean, Biden is Captain Gropes a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got him on camera groping everything, including squeezing the Charmin a little too intimately. And then you've got Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders, who honeymooned in the Soviet Union, who whose wife is a serial destroyer of other universities, made a lot of money, a multimillionaire condemning wealth and privilege. He's the other face of the Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. So for all these all the so-called equality movement in the Democrat Party, who's risen to the top among Democrats? White men, cisgendered, boring white men. Boring white men, I might add, with a lot of baggage.
Yeah. And they are using this to the hilt. They are. Biden's out there using racism. They are using everything they can hurl the Trump administration. Also using Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep citing something that he didn't say. And they keep putting words in his mouth, Uncle Milty.
I just don't understand why the Democratic Party isn't getting the message that maybe their people really aren't as far left as they claim they are.
Or more so.
I think the left has doubled down on identity politics and social justice. I think that's true. And I think that what's worked on the campus, they think is going to work in the culture at large.
No.
That the average mom and dad who are out there doing the shopping and groceries and watching their kids' t-ball games, that those moms and dads are as easily manipulatable as some 19-year-old first-generation college student. And you know, look, you mentioned Joe Biden in his speech to enter the race. Mm-hmm. Spent his whole time pretending he wasn't a white guy, right?
Yes.
Talking about microaggressions and institutional racism. You've got Elizabeth Warren, whiter, possibly, if it's even possible, whiter than Joe Biden, pretending to be an Indian to get ahead in her career. You've got Mayor Pete Buttigieg right now, who is running on the gay card because, other than that, he's just another privileged, boring white guy. You got Beto O'Rourke right now telling people that despite the fact that I married a billionaire into a family of billionaires and I've never had a real job and I'm as empty as a three-piece, a cheap suit, the fact is that if you elect me whitest of white men, I'll let you tell me what to do, right? I mean, you can think about how the candidates on the left, the white ones at least, are running away from their whiteness while seeking the highest, most powerful office in the land. That shows you something. It's one more example of what we said. The political say versus the political do on the left. If these guys, if Warren and Biden and Bernie and Buttigieg and and Beto, if they actually believed the garbage they were spewing, they would say, you know what? I am withdrawing from the race and I am putting my support behind any African-American candidate that wants to put his hat in, right?
Amen.
Or any female candidate. But there you have it again. The same white people who are theorizing all these microaggressions are the same ones that will not step out of the way and live what you preach. If you believe that, then throw your support to Kamala Harris and God help the country.
In fact, in one article, they cited that Biden and Sanders have built campaign teams that reflect America's diversity. I'd love to know how they did that because it hasn't been done. But they also said they'll need to speak in a more detailed way about how you're going to best empathize with the experiences of women and communities of color in a way that goes beyond a tagline. What's very interesting, too, is that Biden's whole past was built on privilege. He was actually very, very privileged and never really worked in the private sector. Just 3 years, and then has been paid for by government ever since. And so this is a guy who's going to try to prove that he knows the black man and that he knows the woman and that he, and it's just such a farce because they're going to spend a lot of time trying to do this and they don't know anything about it. And here's the big broad point, though. They shouldn't be catering to groups. This is the whole idea we're talking about, and very hypocritical. They should just be catering to the Constitution and where this country's going to protect liberty.
And I said this when I guested on your show on last Thursday. You had me on for a couple minutes, half an hour. And we talked about this very thing. the candidate who has the best shot of winning this would be the Democrat who stood up and said, you know, mm-hmm. who was a Democrat in terms of economics, a Democrat in terms of the typical, you know, blue collar working mentality. But that Democrat who sat up and said, you know what? I am not going to pretend to be anything of who I am. I'm proud of who I am. You should be proud of who you are. I am going to be president of the United States, which means I'm not going to be president of your community. I'm not going to be president of women's issues. I'm going to be the president who looks over the yes. needs of the American people, right? And you know the dirty little secret, guys? 95% of Donald Trump's popularity is because he's that guy.
Yeah,
I mean, you can accuse him of being racism, but the issues he's winning on mm-hmm. are issues that have everybody benefiting. This economy, right,
yep.
where blacks are at their highest employment rate almost in history, where Hispanics are working, are employed at a rate unseen for 50 years, where mm-hmm. women have made great strides under him in terms of the small businesses run by people of many times, many small businesses in this country are run by immigrants, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those small businesses, regardless of whose racial complexion owns them, are benefiting because of this. Donald Trump is that candidate. And there is, as they're so busy running away from tax cuts and from a mm-hmm. booming economy and from making sure that everybody, so that's what the left is doing. They're running away from universal prosperity to embrace prosperity only for these selected racial groups. It's a losing ticket across the board.
Yeah. And as more more candidates get up and say, well, I know I've had privileges as a white person, they're only furthering this whole narrative. And the hypocrisy that you were just talking about, too, the hypocrisy of catering to a group, to isolate a group that you know their problems, and their problems aren't everybody else's problems. I have news for them. They're everybody's problems. Everybody has the same. It doesn't matter what color you are. And you're exactly right. Trump tapped into that. He said, this is about the country. This isn't about isolating to in a very sneaky way, try to get your vote, to try and act like you and be you and know you. Because honestly, we all have the same stuff.
And where we started the show today, right? The uh-huh. idea that the left now argues that assimilating and becoming an American is racist. That's the same thing you're seeing from the politicians. The Democrat politicians are running from the idea that we are all Americans. No, we're not, the left says. We're only valid Americans if we've suffered or if we're female or if we're African American. And so you got a bunch of white people pandering to that collective group.
Mm-hmm.
And are we surprised now that many on the collective group are saying, well, if you really mean it, Joe, then don't run. I mean,
yeah.
if you really mean that, Bernie, then stand aside. And or Liz Warren, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stop pretending that you're 1.024% Native American and admit that you used it to get ahead and then quietly leave the public stage. But they
yeah.
never do.
Yeah.
And they never will. And I think the American people see that. There's one thing I will say about the American people, even in the year 2019, is we have a very good nose to smell BS,
mm-hmm.
right? And people get that Donald Trump is maybe a little vulgar, maybe a little crude, maybe he's a little bit earthy, maybe he doesn't have the best demeanor. But you know what they see in Donald Trump? A guy who is comfortable with what he is. And you've got a host of candidates mm-hmm. on the left who not only don't like white people, they don't like that they're white too. And so they're trying to
they
pass
don't like
off
America.
Their hatred. Exactly. And they're trying to pretend they're not part of it. And
yeah.
that's why they have such a very difficult hill to climb if they're going to win this election in 2020.
Oh, well, amen.
Kamala Harris came right out and said she thinks it should be the Democratic ticket should be all female.
Yep.
And
by the way,
boy.
That would make it harder for them to win. Do it.
Yeah.
You know,
the
left wants to have its cake and eat it, too. They want to play this diversity. Look at how woke I am game. They want to play
mm-hmm.
the woke game.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when it comes time to actually live the woke game, the white people aren't stepping down. And they know that America isn't going to elect a ticket that just because you've got all estrogen on that ticket or all extra melanin on that ticket. They know that the American people are still educated enough to reject that kind of gerrymandering.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. We're in a place in time. I have to mention this before we go. We're in a place in time where the Me Too hysteria says that we cannot maybe do handshakes in the workplace anymore. It's a little too much. And you know, this is where we're at. This is where we're at for the level of stupidity in America that a lot of people have is they're buying into this. And they're buying into the racial lie. They're buying into the Me Too lie because truly there's so much there that needs to be spoken out about. And the all women lie. And as far as all women, it matters for gender and it matters for all these things. And this is what matters. No, in public office, what matters is your understanding of the Constitution and where you're driving America and how you're going to protect liberty. They don't want that conversation. In the Me Too movement with women, it's now gotten to a point where they think they're going to keep driving this and driving this and driving this to the point of such ridiculousness that do I want an all-female team espousing this kind of crap? Are you serious? I'm a woman in America that just wants the best man or woman for the job. I don't want this kind of stuff.
I agree. And what you just laid out was a brilliant definition of intersectionality.
Yeah.
But what's new between now and 5 years ago is the left has created this concept of intersectionality, right? Mm-hmm. That if I'm a radical lesbian feminist and you're a militant black separatist, we can join hands even though we have absolutely nothing in common by intersectionally blaming white men. Right?
Yes.
And so that nexus isn't going to work.
Gotta have
it
a
doesn't
scapegoat.
Work because you can't hide the contradictions. Mm-hmm. Between people like Alyssa Milano and her snowflake hashtag Me Too stuff and what African-American radicals want, right? They don't want the same things. The gay community doesn't want the same things that Hispanic pro-immigrationists want. And so this pretend way that we're going to make them all get along by blaming white people is really transparent and counterproductive. They're not going to win on that platform. Again, that Democrat who stands up and says, look, while I admire all of the facets of our big tent, I am going to be the president of every American. And I would, if it were my stump speech, I would say, look, you know all those Americans you don't like, the privileged, the white, the rich? I'm going to be their president, too. I'm going to be your president, and I'm going to be their president. And we're going to make this country a better country together. But there is no one in the Democrat Party who can do that because intersectionality won't let them.
When groups spiral into groups and isolate themselves into groups, just like they're doing in America right now, have we all noticed they spin out of control? They take their narrative to the 100th degree. And that's why when I said the Me Too movement and these women that are espousing this kind of crap where you can't even shake hands because it's just a little too much for them in the way of harassment, this is the problem behind going into groups instead of just addressing Americans as a whole. Go ahead, Uncle Milty.
That's really true. And on top of that, everything we see anymore is propaganda. Everything, all forms of advertising, movies, entertainment, everything preaches this stuff.
I know.
Yeah, and it's identity politics, isn't it? We don't govern a country on the basis of identities. We really never have. Mm-hmm. Even during the darkest old days of Jim Crow, that the idea that the country was run simply by an oligarchy only for a certain kind of person is utter nonsense. If that were the case, we would never have opened our borders. If that was the case, we would never have expanded the Constitution to include rights for women and minorities and other groups. We wouldn't have done it. Yeah. And so rather than allow the country to unfold the way it was written beautifully, we're going to stop that now in the name of what? More Balkanization, more genuine racism, more segregationism, all brought on by the left.
Yep. And all screaming for the same thing. Equality. Don't you know? It's all about equality. As we're sitting over here in our little group that's spiraled so far out of control, we can't even relate to anybody anymore. We're screaming for equality and they're doing it to themselves.
Amen.
And the reality is we have equality. They've attained it. What they want now is superiority of opportunities and outcomes.
Yes, and more rights. You're exactly right. Thank you so much. More rights than anyone
else.
Guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
Dr. Duke, the brilliant Dr. Duke. Isn't he amazing?
Yes.
The Dr. Duke Show, you should catch it. Pretty awesome stuff. And we'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Are there cameras in the seats of some airplanes and you just didn't know it? Yeah. What is the DOD taken from the FBI that the FBI used to do? We'll talk about it. All kinds of stuff coming up in the next hour. Don't miss it.